Good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places, and Yeshua, our Messiah. The name of this program is Cross the Border, and I'm Nicholas. Today, we're continuing our study into the Gospel of Luke. Last time, we got all the way to, chapter 6, and about verse 43. For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. And every tree is known by his own fruit. For thorns men do not gather figs, nor bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. And we read earlier in this same sermon by our Messiah is that, judge not that you be not judged, condemn not, and so forth. But then here we're reading something that seems to be contrary to that. Well, if you're judging, because if a tree is known by its fruit, that means you have to judge its fruit. You have to observe. You have to listen. And you make judgments accordingly. You may not want to cast your pearl before swine so that you be trampled, but you don't have to attack the swine. You don't have to condemn or judge them openly and before other men. Because many times it just does no good to confront someone, because many people are what they are. The only thing you can do is you can tell them the truth about the Messiah and about the scripture, and if they receive it, well, fine. Then you can go from there. If they don't receive it, you can just move on, because by their fruit, you know them. You've judged them. You listen to the words that come out of their mouth. Says, for a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things I say? Oh, what's going on here? This is the Messiah, the one that the modern church calls Jesus, and they have pins that say Jesus is Lord, 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 Lord. And, so why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built his house and digged deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently against that house, it could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Now, this is not very difficult to figure out, because those that don't hear, well, that hear and do not do, are those that will listen to a message that frees them from taking any action at all. Like they'll believe the one that says to them, just repeat after me, and you'll go to heaven when you die. And so they chant a little prayer. They recite a little incantation, and then they go about their business. And every time the thought of death comes up, they just think, oh, yes, blessed assurance. I get to go to heaven when I died. I said the prayer, and the man told me that nobody will snatch me out of his hand, that my salvation is sure. I had someone comment once on my program because I was speaking the way I'm speaking now, and someone called in and they said, how dare you? How dare you? Don't you know that you're going to get people to question their faith? Yes, Absolutely. I want people to question their faith. If you don't question your own faith, what good is anybody else's question going to do about your faith? Personally, I want to make sure my faith, I want to make sure it's founded on the rock. So I'm not just going to call him Lord, Lord, Jesus is Lord. I gave my life to the Lord. I'm not just going to mouth the words and sing the songs and believe what people tell me. Oh, you said the prayer and now you get to go to heaven when you die. No one will ever snatch you out of his hand. They don't tell you that, hey, you know what? You can leave the kingdom anytime you want. No, you know what? He will never leave you or forsake you, but most likely you will leave him and forsake him. That is more likely because that is exactly what most people do. They go through, they say the prayer, and they hear all of the assurances of how they're going to go to heaven when they die. They recited the incantation. They've reduced the word of God and salvation to witchcraft. That's right. Say the magic words. We're going to cast a spell now. Repeat after me. Sorry to say it. And some wonderful words they are. But as soon as they tell you, hey, the law was nailed to the cross, you said the words, your salvation is sure. No one will ever snatch you out of his hand. You will go to heaven when you die. And they pick out phrases and words and verses out of the scripture to uphold the illusion of salvation, of easy believism. And then you go about your business and you say, oh yeah, Jesus my Lord, I prayed at the Billy Graham crusade or whatever crusade it was. Crusade, what a wonderful word, huh? Yes, I prayed and blessed assurance, and now I can go about my business knowing that when I die, I get to go to heaven. Well, what about when you live? How about while you're living? Are you living in his kingdom? Is he your king? Do you look to his law or the laws of another? You know, it's like plainly put it this way, that there are people that hate God's law. God said, thou shalt not commit adultery. Death is the penalty for adultery. That's the law of God. Pretty harsh, huh? People often say, well, what would you do? Would we kill all adulterers? Well, you know what? If we upheld the law, we wouldn't have such a problem with adultery. But because they've turned, they didn't like God's law and they wanted to commit adultery, they turned to their own lawmakers, their own gods, and they said, oh, great gods of government. Oh yes, we've erected a great image to you, and it's called the state of whatever state we're in. And we believe in the image. Create us a law. Don't punish us for adultery. Yes, and now adultery is not illegal. In the kingdoms of men, you can commit adultery. And, you know, whatever, it ain't nothing. It's nothing. That's right. So they've made it legal. And then there's homosexuality. Oh, you go to the Bible. You don't have a license in the Bible for homosexuality. As a matter of fact, you are not allowed to do that. There's no license in the Bible. Now, there is a license for a man to marry a woman. Our God gives us license by his law. You pick up the book is your license before an almighty God. It's okay in there. Now, he doesn't license adultery, and he doesn't license homosexuality in any form. He doesn't license incest. He doesn't license a lot of things. He doesn't license murder and theft. That's right. All those things. He says, thou shalt not. That is not a license to do it. And everything that he says, thou shalt not. Well, you're not licensed to do that. But you know what's wonderful about the law of our Heavenly Father? It's not the great burden that the world and the corporate churches of the state, the state world churches tell you that the law is such a burden. However, you go out there and you must obey every ordinance of man. Now, there's a burden. Because the law of God, it tells you plainly, thou shalt not. And you know what? Everything else is lawful except the thou shalt nots. And he gives you case law, and just in case you don't understand, you know, thou shalt not kill. And then he gives you case law to explain what kind of killing thou shalt not. Now, you can kill in self-defense. You can kill in time of war. You can kill for capital punishment when people do things that he says thou shalt not. And if you do, you shall be killed. You shall be put to death. So that's not covered in the thou shalt not kill statute. Basically, plainly, if we put it into modern vernacular, it would be thou shalt not murder, because we have case law in the scripture. That's why it's imperative that we understand the whole scripture. But the wonderful thing is that all of the things that there is no law against, which means we have license to do all of those things that our Heavenly Father does not forbid. But the unfortunate thing is the real heavy burden out there is the laws of man. And those men that you pay hundreds of thousands of dollars to every year, yeah, I'm talking to all you U.S. citizens out there, because I don't pay them anything. They aren't my legislators. I have one legislator, and he was before time began. He created the heavens and the earth, and he changeth not, and he changeth not his law. So it is not a burden, because I can know it all, I can read it all, and it's not going to change. So don't believe that lie when they tell you the law of God is a heavy burden and God would not have us under the law. As a matter of fact, listen to this lie. He nailed it to the cross. He did not. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Do you deny that Yahshua the Messiah, Jesus the Christ, is the King of Kings? Do you deny that he is the King of the Kingdom of Heaven? Do you deny that he is the Almighty God, the same yesterday and today and forever? And if you don't deny those things, why do you call him Lord and do not the things which he says? He that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Now, if that's too hard for many of you to figure out, yes, it's talking about the end of your mortality. Will the house stand, or will it fall? He is the King of Kings, and the Lord of Lords. He has a kingdom, and he said, seek first the kingdom of heaven. Seek first the kingdom of God. And his righteousness. Does a corrupt tree bear good fruit? Does a good tree bear corrupt fruit? Let's move on to chapter 7, Luke. Now, when he had ended all his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum. And a certain centurion servant who was dear unto him was sick and ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that they would come, that he would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this. For he loveth our nation, and he has built us a synagogue. And Jesus went with them. So, you know, here's this outcast, this guy they're going to kill. And here comes the leaders of the church, the synagogue, you know, the church of the day, the ecclesia of the day. And the centurion went to the leaders of the synagogue, which he helped them build, the centurion, Roman centurion. And he says, hey, can you get that teacher Jesus over here? Because I heard that he heals, and my servant is sick, and I love my servant. I don't want him to die, right? So they say, for he loveth our nation, and he has built us a synagogue. Verse 6, then Yahshua, Jesus, went with them. And when he was now not far from the house, and centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. Wherefore neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. For I also am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers. And I say unto one, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. And when Jesus heard these words, he marveled at him, and he turned him about. He turned around to speak to the people, and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And they that were sent, returning to the house, found the servants whole that had been sick. And it came to pass the day after that he went into a city called Nain. And many of his disciples went with him, and much people. Now, when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother. And she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and said unto her, Weep not. And he came and touched the bier, and they that bare him stood still. And he said, Young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother. And there came fear on all, and they glorified God, saying that a great prophet is risen among us, and that God has visited his people. Now, you know, this is not a Benny Hinn production here going on. This man was definitely dead. You know, they don't carry him out to the cemetery, the place of burial, if they're not dead. Okay, so everyone knew this guy was dead. How long he'd been dead, I don't know. Perhaps he died the night before or whatever. But there was no doubt in anyone's mind that this man was dead. This was the real thing, okay? Yahshua didn't send agents in advance and pay people off to pretend that somebody had died. Like I said, it's not a Henny Bin production. No, let's move on here. And there came fear, verse 16 of chapter 7, there came fear and all, and they glorified God, saying that a great prophet has risen up among us, and that God had visited his people, and this rumor of him went forth throughout all Judea, and throughout all the region round about. And the disciples of John showed him of all these things. And John, calling unto him two of his disciples, sent them to Jesus, saying, Art thou he that should come, or look we for another? When the men were come unto him, they said, John the Baptist hath sent us unto thee, saying, Art thou he that should come, or look we for another? And in the same hour he cured many of their infirmities and plagues, and of evil spirits, and unto many that were blind he gave sight. And then Jesus answering said unto them, Go your way, tell John what things you have seen and heard, and how that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the dead hear, the dead are raised, and to the poor the gospel is preached. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. And when the messengers of John were departed, he began to speak unto the people concerning John. What went ye out into the wilderness for to see? A reed shaken in the wind? But what went ye out to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they which are gorgeously apparelled and live delicately are in king's courts. But what went you out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and much more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. For I say unto you, among those that are born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. But he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. And all the people that heard him, and the publicans, justified God being baptized with the baptism of John. But the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the counsel of God against themselves, being not baptized of him. And the Lord said, Whereunto then shall I liken the men of this generation? And to what are they like? And so we had that little information there just to tell us who he's speaking to when he says the things that are following, because I was talking about the Pharisees and the lawyers rejected the counsel against and were not baptized of John. He said, whereunto then shall I liken the men of this generation? And to what are they like? They are like unto children sitting in the marketplace and calling one to another, saying, we have piped unto you, and you have not danced. We have mourned to you, and you have not wept. For John the Baptist came neither eating bread nor drinking wine, and you say, he hath a devil. The Son of Man is come, eating and drinking, and you say, behold, a gluttonous man and wine-bibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. But wisdom is justified of all her children. And we're going into a break, and we'll talk about that a little bit more when we get back. You're listening to Cross the Border,